copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I'm speaking this morning about a topic where there have been different opinions, and it's not an easy topic. How should Christians use the Old Testament for ethical guidance? I'm proposing a solution, but I'm not sure that it's right. And I will welcome feedback on it and perhaps correction and modification. The two projects that I wanted to finish, that I thought the Lord had given, put on my heart, the two projects were a second edition of my systematic theology, and then this book, Christian Ethics, which came out in 2018. And then the Systematic Theology second edition came out in 2020, just December of last year. So the Lord has been gracious and allowed me to complete the two major projects that I thought he was calling me to before the Parkinson's disease became worse. So this is from, this material is from chapter 8 in this book, Christian Ethics. And it's on how should we use the Old Testament for ethical guidance. The problem is, on the one hand, we know that many verses in the New Testament say the Mosaic covenant has been annulled or canceled. It's no longer in effect. On the other hand, we have 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that tells us all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. All scripture has to include the whole Old Testament. It's profitable for training in righteousness. How can it be profitable if the Mosaic covenant has been canceled? So that's the problem that we have to deal with. I'm going to pray before we begin. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you are Lord and Master of our life, and you are ruler over the affairs of the world and the affairs of nations. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of meeting with these faithful servants of yours who teach theology and write about theology in various places in the world. And we commit this time into your hands, and we ask your blessing on this session as we think and talk together. Teach us from your word, give us good judgment, help us not to go astray or teach others things that are misleading. Help us to be faithful to you and your word. You tell us if we lack wisdom, we should ask you, and you give to everyone generously and without reproach, and it will be given. But we need to ask in faith, and so we trust you that you would give us wisdom together in this session and in others to follow. Amen. How should Christians use the Old Testament for ethical guidance? Point one, the Mosaic covenant was terminated at the death of Christ. Several explicit statements teach that the Mosaic covenant has come to an end. Jeremiah 31:31 predicted this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So the new covenant is promised. And in Luke 22:20, Jesus said, the cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So Jesus was initiating the new covenant at the end of his life. Hebrews 7 argues that Jesus has become a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews 7:17. Not as part of a system of priests descended from Levi in the Old Covenant, the Levitical priesthood, but Jesus has become a priest after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron, Hebrews 7:11. If that's true, then a new system of laws has been established, because the author of Hebrews claims it is evident that where there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. In fact, the entire argument of Hebrews 8 to 10 establishes again and again that the Mosaic covenant has been terminated and that Christ has inaugurated the long-promised new covenant. Hebrews 8, 6 to 13, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So that's my starting point for asking how should we use the Old Testament for ethical guidance. It's the repeated testimony of the New Testament that the Mosaic covenant has been terminated, it is no longer in effect, it is no longer operative. Now we see some specific examples of that in New Testament teaching where specific Mosaic covenant requirements are no longer valid for Christians living in the New Covenant. Some specific legal obligations under the Mosaic covenant are explicitly said to be no longer required for Christians. For example, Romans 12:1, Christians no longer must offer Old Testament sacrifices. The substitute is ourselves as sacrifices. Romans 12:1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And the second specific cancellation is that Christians must no longer need to be circumcised. Galatians 5:11, Paul says, if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. The third discontinuity explicit in the New Testament is that Christians no longer must follow the food laws of the Old Testament. Romans 14:20, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. But everything is indeed clean. And in Mark's gospel, we read, Jesus declared all foods clean. So we are freed from the food laws of the Mosaic covenant. Fourth, Christians no longer must observe the Old Testament Sabbath and other Old Testament festivals. Romans 14:5, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. I know there's a discussion among Christians about whether the Sabbath requirements for the seventh day apply to the first day observance of Sunday in the New Testament age. And I've implied a position on that I think it is no longer required specifically to observe the Sabbath commandment. But there's a wisdom question involves how we spend this Sunday each week. And I'll come back to that in a few minutes. Number five, Christians must no longer need to follow the Old Testament laws regulating the civil government of Israel. Instead, Peter says in 1 Peter 2, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So Christians aren't commanded to be subject to the Mosaic covenant laws for government and punishments for government, but they're commanded to be subject to the secular government of the Roman Empire. That's evident, too, in Jesus' confrontation with the Sadducees, where they wanted to know whether it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not. He said, show me a coin, and they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. If this inscription on the coin is Caesar's, Jesus is implying that there is a realm of obedience to Caesar which is required, including paying the tax. But there is also, as he specified, a realm of things that belong exclusively to God, and Caesar should, and that is outside the realm of jurisdiction of Caesar. But Christians must no longer follow the Old Testament laws regarding the civil government of Israel. Why was the Mosaic covenant terminated? If we agree that it was. Well, the Mosaic Covenant, which is also called the Old Covenant sometimes, was established by God for only a temporary period. Galatians 3:19, why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise has been made. So the law was added because of transgressions until Christ would come. It was intended to last for a certain time and be done. Related to that is that the Mosaic covenant was intended to be fulfilled by Christ. He said he has not come to abolish the laws, but to fulfill them, the Old Testament law. Matthew 5:17 to 18. Also, the Mosaic covenant was established to govern God's people while they constituted a separate Jewish nation before Christ came. But the Mosaic covenant was not intended for a time when God's people would have no nation of their own, but would live as citizens of all nations. And then the Mosaic covenant also was deficient in that it could not impart spiritual life or empower people to obey it. Galatians 3:21. If a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But that implies that a law that could give life was not established in the Old Covenant. But that's point one. Let me go back. The Mosaic Covenant was terminated at the death of Christ. Number two, the Mosaic Covenant was still in effect during Jesus' earthly ministry, because a will, a covenant, the diatheke in Hebrews 9:17, takes effect only at death. And so not until Jesus died did the new covenant take effect. Jesus then, during his lifetime, never violated any law of the Mosaic Covenant, though he did violate the highly detailed additional rules made by the rabbis, especially respecting the Sabbath. But much of Jesus' earthly teaching was about the kingdom of God, and that teaching about the kingdom of God had application both to the time of Jesus' earthly ministry and to the new covenant age in which we live. Point three, I have a little parenthesis in here in the outline to mention the teaching of theonomy with Gary North, Russus Rushdoony, Greg Bonson. I don't know if it has had much influence in Europe, but it has gained a following in the United States. Theonomy claims that the moral instructions found in the law, in the Old Testament law, that is God's commandments revealed in the Old Testament, have not been laid aside, while the redemptive instructions for circumcision, priesthood, sacrifice, and temple have been laid aside. But the moral instructions that remain in force include laws and directions regarding crimes and punishments that government should impose, which implies imposing the death penalty for adultery, death penalty for homosexuality, and other civil punishments for laws which were for conduct which is forbidden in the Mosaic Covenant, and for teaching false doctrine, teaching to follow other gods. They would have us impose the death penalty today. I think that the problem with theonomy is, well, there are several problems, but I strongly differ and disagree with it. It has a failure to recognize the termination of the entire Mosaic Covenant, not just parts of it. But the Mosaic Covenant as a whole has been terminated. There's a failure to recognize the unique historical and governmental context of the Mosaic laws. They were intended for Israel as a nation at that time, not for all nations for all time. And then many have critiqued the advocates of theonomy for harsh and intemperate attitudes and argumentativeness that is so noticeable that it's frequently mentioned in critiques of theonomy. And as a result, all of this brings reproach on the gospel and is a very destructive movement. So that was a critique of theonomy in just a minute or two. Number four, the New Testament authors then teach us how to use the Old Testament for ethical instruction. So we have, on the one hand, a collection of verses that talk about the Mosaic Covenant being canceled in general, and then specific provisions of the Mosaic Covenant being no longer in effect. But we still are faced with 2 Timothy 3:16-17, says all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction and training in righteousness. So the whole Old Testament is all scripture, included in all scripture, and is profitable for training in righteousness. So even though the Mosaic Covenant has been discontinued, how do we use it for training in righteousness? We use it because we can find a source of wisdom in it, though we're not directly accountable to the Mosaic Covenant laws. And we see the New Testament repeating a number of laws from the Old Testament and moral commands, such as you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So how did the New Testament authors come to these conclusions? Well, the New Testament authors teach us how to use the Old Testament for ethical instruction for several reasons. Point A, Jesus taught his apostles how to use the Old Testament for ethics. Some of Jesus' teaching is recorded in the Gospels, and some of Jesus' teaching about the Old Testament was not recorded in the Gospels, but is reflected in the teaching of the epistles, because Jesus instructed his disciples during his lifetime and then during the 40 days after he rose from the dead, instructed his disciples in the ways in which the Old Testament scriptures should be interpreted to apply to their lives at this time. And then the apostles had further teaching directly from the guidance of the Holy Spirit in John 16:13. The Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth. The result is that the apostles spoke directly with the authority of the Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:37, "What if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is a command of the Lord." And the what is plural. The things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. So the apostles speak with the authority of the Lord. They have an expression, the law of Christ. That and some other expressions in the New Testament, what do they refer to? I think the law of Christ refers to the entire body of Christian teaching about a life that is pleasing to God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:21, "To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ." So he's under the law of Christ. He's subject to the law of Christ. He says, "In order that I might win those outside the law." So now what about some specific examples? How did the New Testament authors understand the entire Old Testament as a valuable source of ethical wisdom? Again, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Well, first, we have the material in the Old Testament that is prior to the Mosaic Covenant. It is not the entire Old Testament that has been canceled or abrogated or terminated, but the Mosaic Covenant, which is what the New Testament authors sometimes call the Old Covenant. They don't call all of the Old Testament the Old Covenant, but they call the Mosaic Covenant the Old Covenant. Genesis 1 to Exodus 19 predates the Mosaic Covenant, which came into effect with Exodus 20 and the giving of the Ten Commandments. But from Genesis 1 to Exodus 19, this is material that predates the Mosaic Covenant, and it teaches ethical principles for all time. And then we get to Exodus 20, 1 to 17, the Ten Commandments. And the New Testament authors, remarkably, affirm all of the Ten Commandments except the Sabbath commandment. So the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," that is affirmed a number of times. But for example, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." That certainly implies God is prior to all other allegiances in our life, and we should have no other gods but him. Jesus replied to Satan, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve," in Matthew 4:10. The second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or the earth beneath or the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them." This is a command against idolatry. And Acts 17:16, for example, Paul, when he came to Athens, it says his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. That's the city of Athens. And there's, it implies there that idolatry is an evil which provokes Paul's spirit to be very troubled at the evil. There are also in Paul's epistles verses that talk about covetousness, which is a form of idolatry, and it's prohibited. The third commandment, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." That's implied in Romans 2:24 when Paul says to the Jews who are disobedient to God's moral laws, "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." Assumption, blaspheming the name of God is morally wrong. The fourth commandment, it's interesting now, this is the one about the Sabbath, but it starts out, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." 6 days, I'm forgetting the beginning of this verse. I'm going blank on the beginning of the Sabbath commandment. Anybody remember how it starts? Let me just look. Yes, okay, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But in the seventh, for in 6 days the Lord God made heaven and earth and all that is in them. Just a minute. It's embarrassing to memorize the Ten Commandments as a child and then not be able to start the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So it commands 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. I'm sorry, I couldn't remember that from memorizing it 60 years ago at least, maybe 65, I'm not sure. So where am I? Oh, Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So there's a command to labor. And the fourth commandment does have the requirement, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. That is reflective of the situation of Adam and Eve in the garden when God commanded them that they were to have work to do to fill the earth and subdue it. So the commandment to work is implied in the creation narratives in Genesis 1 and 2. But what about the Sabbath rest? That part is not reaffirmed in the New Testament. I'll come back to that in a few minutes. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3 quotes that commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. The sixth commandment against murder. Murder is listed many times in the New Testament among a catalog of various sins. See Romans 1:29, Romans 13:9, 1 Timothy 1:9, James 2:11 and 4:2, etc. It listed a number of verses. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Paul quotes it among the commandments that are summed up in the love command in Romans 13:9, and James also quotes this commandment directly in James 2:11. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Paul quotes this directly in Romans 13:9, his summary of moral requirements that are fulfilled in the command to love one's neighbor. Of course, it's obvious if you love your neighbor, you should not steal from your neighbor. He also echoes this command when he says, let the thief no longer steal, Ephesians 4:28. But several other verses also prohibit theft of various kinds. And I have a list there. The ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. There are a number of commands in the New Testament against speaking falsely, especially about other people, and I've listed verses there. The 10th commandment, you shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house, their ox or donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. That is implied in the command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Romans 13:9. But it's also, in Romans 7, Paul says, I would not have known what it was to covet, except the law said to me, you shall not covet. And there are other places that repeat that concept as well. So Genesis 1 to Exodus 19, we can derive moral principles for all people for all time, especially from the Garden of Eden and the first creation of Adam and Eve. The Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, nine of them contain moral principles that remain applicable for all time. The rest of the Old Testament, from Exodus 20 on to the end of Malachi, New Testament authors apply various passages in the light of five significant changes brought about by the New Covenant. Number one, the Old Covenant has been terminated. Number two, the Messiah has come and offered a final sacrifice. Therefore, we don't offer sacrifices of animals. Number three, God's laws are now more powerfully written on the hearts of his people. Number four, God's people no longer constitute a separate earthly nation. And number five, Gentiles no longer have to become Jews to be saved. Those five principles, I think, are clear in the New Testament, and they help us to guide in our thinking about specific Old Testament provisions. Now, there's a traditional historic characterization of Old Testament laws as civil, ceremonial, and moral. This is found in the Westminster Confession of Faith and in other treatments of the Old Testament moral teachings. This approach is somewhat hopeful, but decisions about which laws and which go in which categories are not always easy or clear, and maybe somewhat arbitrary. It seems to me a better approach than saying ceremonial, civil, and moral laws. A better approach is to recognize that the Mosaic Covenant as a whole in its entirety has been terminated, and to recognize the specific differences between the Old Testament and the Old and New Covenant, and then seek wisdom for life from the whole of the Old Testament, including all its laws. That is, we say the whole Mosaic Covenant has been terminated, but can we not get wisdom? Can we not derive wisdom from observing how God taught his people at the time of the Mosaic Covenant? I think we can. Summary of principles for using the Old Testament for guidance today. Three inadequate solutions. I don't think it's right to say everything not canceled by the New Testament is still required. And I don't think the opposite is adequate either, to say nothing is required except what the New Testament reaffirms. And I don't think it's helpful just to say, should there be more or less continuity, more continuity, more discontinuity. That's a very vague categorization and very flexible. A better solution is to understand each Old Testament ethical statement in light of the differences between the Old and New Covenant. Genesis 1 to Exodus 19 is pre-Mosaic Covenant, teaches some ethical principles for all time. Exodus 20, 1 to 17, universal moral standards for all time with the exception of the Sabbath commandment. The rest of the Old Testament, we remember that the Old Covenant has been terminated. We remember that the Messiah has come and offered a final sacrifice, so the sacrificial system is abolished. Remember that God's laws are more powerfully written on people's hearts. Remember that God's people no longer constitute a separate earthly nation, so the civil laws are not directly applicable to government. And remember that Gentiles don't have to become Jews to be saved. Let me take the Sabbath commandment as an example. For my university training, entire time as an undergraduate, and then my entire time as in a theological seminary, and for part of my time in PhD work in Cambridge, I was a Sabbatarian. I thought it would be sin and displeasing to God to do any academic work on Sundays. So I followed the Sabbatarian guidelines for not doing anything except deeds of necessity and mercy. But as I was teaching through the Ten Commandments in a class at Eden Baptist Church in Cambridge, I came to the conclusion that Calvin was right, that every day is a Sabbath for the New Testament believer, and that the Mosaic Covenant law of the Sabbath was no longer directly binding on me. But now my approach is to say, I generally think it's unwise to work 7 days a week. I think it is unwise, but I don't think it is sinful. The Sabbath commandment gives me guidance as to what is a wise conduct of life. And so usually I will not do any academic work on Sunday, but if I have a lecture that needs to be prepared for Monday morning and I'm not finished with it, I will work occasionally on Sundays. So I no longer consider it sin, but I consider it unwise to do as a pattern of life. Is that, it is a difference between guidance and law.